So good afternoon. My name is Liz, and I'm an alcoholic.
Liz.
Please help me open this workshop with a moment of silent meditation, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. So good afternoon. I'm so excited to have you here. I would like to say I'm excited to be doing this, but it's always terrifying being up behind this microphone, just so you know. And I can remember when I was a new GSR sitting out there going, I could never do that. But you know what? With time, things come. And so we are here for part two of a three-part GSR workshop. How many of you were here in January for the workshop? Oh, great. So that means the rest of you were not, and that's okay, because we're going to do a small review of that before we get into the guts of this thing. So just to let you know where you can find this presentation if you want to review it or show it to your group when you get back to your home groups, it is on the website, aageorgia.org. So if you look where the arrow is, where it says assembly, you just click on that. And then you'll find whichever one you're looking for at the bottom. Now, that's been updated a little bit. The January and February new ones, which is the one you're getting today, are both up there. September has not yet been revised, but it will be by the time we get to the September assembly. It's a lot of work putting these things together. It takes up a good bit of time. So all you have to do is click on it. I know that Damon over here, who is doing all of our tech work, is working on being able to match the slides with the audio portion of it and put that up there as a separate option for you if you choose to do that in the future. So we're here to talk about the GSR, and according to Bill Wilson, the GSR is the most important person that we have. And there's a lot of reasons why the GSR is the most important person that we have. And mostly it's because you speak on behalf of your group. It's extremely important that you carry your group's voice. And if you don't have your group's voice, it's very important that you're informed so you can make a good choice on behalf of your group. So we already know who is here at the January assembly. Who is here for their very first assembly as a GSR, like, ever? Look at that. That's fabulous. Good for you. And this is your first year as a GSR? Your second year as a GSR? Okay. Who's doing the GSR duty again? Got a couple of those, too. Very good. And who's here just to find out what the heck a GSR even is? There you go. It's all right. So the GSR stands for General Service Representative. I used to think it meant Group Service Representative. That's not correct. It's General Service Representative. And so you are here participating in general service. Now, this workshop was originally started back when Patty L. was our delegate, and we had different people who were presenting it at the time, and everybody didn't give the same information. So they kind of grouped all the information they wanted to have distributed into one PowerPoint that I am now revising and making it a little bit more colorful, but the information is still there, and there are a few updates because we have a new service manual from that time, so some of the page numbers and stuff are different. But even if you look at the one for September, it's all green, but that's okay. If you look for the one in September, you're going to get that same information if you're not able to be here. So in January, we covered the qualifications and duties of the GSR, how to make a motion at the assembly, and the first couple of concepts. Today, we're going to be covering the nominating procedures because we're going to be nominating a new delegate, alternate delegate, at tomorrow's business meeting. And we're going to cover concepts 3, 5, and 9, or at least briefly. There's no way to fully cover that in an hour. And then in September, we're going to go back over voting and elections because that procedure can be very tedious. We're going to talk about the different positions that are available for your area trusted servants, because it's more than just your delegate and secretary and treasurer. There are other trusted servants as well. We're going to talk about service sponsorship and group inventories. Has anybody participated in a group inventory? Very good. Very good. So here we're going to go over the recap from the January assembly. So concept one. If you haven't got it, you're going to be able to find those in this red service manual. Hopefully Tamara has plenty of them out there for you to purchase. They're not very expensive. The front half is actually the World Service Manual, and the back portion of it is the concepts for World Service. And so you're going to get the short version of them here. The long version has an essay, just like you would find in the 12 and 12 for the 12 traditions. So there'll be writings by Bill about that. So the final responsibility and ultimate authority for AA World Services should always reside in the collective conscience of our world, of our whole fellowship. That is the short version of the first concept. So if you want to be at the top of the triangle, be an AA member, because you're the one who has the power. And it's through you and voting in your group conscience that your GSR comes and speaks on your behalf, and they elect the people who vote for you at the conference in New York. Concept two, it talks about the conference specifically. When in 1955 the AA groups confirmed the permanent charter for their general service conference, they thereby delegated to the conference complete authority for the active maintenance of our world services, and thereby made the conference, excepting for any change in the 12 traditions or in Article 12 of the conference charter, the actual voice and the effective conscience for our whole society. So in short, what that means is the people that you elect, and we have 93 delegates. We have 93 delegates in North America. We are Area 16. So there's 93 areas. Each one has a delegate. And so our delegate is elected by you, the GSR, and she takes your group's vote to conference. And you're going to be getting a conference report tomorrow from Tracy, because she was in New York for conference at the end of April, about 3 weeks ago. So be looking forward to that. When I was new in recovery, I was like, oh my God, this is a sleeper. You know, now it's like, I can't wait for that conference report. I need to find out what happened. So yeah, it's very exciting to me. If it's not that yet to you, keep coming back. So we talked about GSRs are responsible for voting and electing our delegate. You're also responsible for anything that goes on here in Georgia. So the service manual changes, anything you want to see going on with service in Georgia, this is where you come into play. So you are our voice at this assembly tomorrow. The qualifications and duties can be found on page 28 of the Georgia service manual. And that's this little blue book. If y'all haven't gotten one of these, they're out there where Tamara has the literature table, and they are free. All you have to do is pick one up, and there are qualifications and duties for every single trusted servant that we have in Georgia in here, and you can find on page 28 the qualifications and duties of the GSR. So the role of the GSR, making motions, seconding motions, nominating people, be informed. You know, find out what's going on. Pay attention to your DCM. If you don't know who your DCM is, we can figure that out. We can help you figure that out after this meeting. Also, the role of the alternate GSR is to be present in case the GSR is unable to be there. So if you are actually an alternate GSR here, do I have any alternate GSRs here? Very good. If your GSR is here, your job is to observe. If your GSR is not here, your job is to be GSR in their place and make your group's vote for whatever it is we're voting on. That is your job tomorrow. And that's the recap. Are there any questions on the recap? Now we're going to get into new material. Aren't you excited? Okay, so we are going to be nominating area trusted servants tomorrow. So our trusted servant nominations are going to be for delegate and alternate delegate. And just so you know, when anybody is standing, running, however you want to put it, for delegate, they're not all going to get elected delegate. Like, one of them will get elected, and we don't nominate for alternate delegate, because whoever is left after the delegate has been elected is automatically in the running for alternate delegate. So we never really have nominations for alternate delegate. We only have nominations for delegate. And then we'll elect that delegate, and then we'll elect an alternate delegate after we finish with those that are still running. They're going to be made tomorrow, and it's going to look something like this. And this was my experience the first time. Like, what are they doing? Oh, my God. So right now, as we speak in that other room where the DCMs are, They are polling the second-year DCMs. They're asking each second-year DCM, are you willing to stand or not? Because once you have been a DCM for 2 years, assuming you have all the other qualifications, like you've been a GSR, you've been sober for 5 years, there's a couple of other things that are in there, assuming that that's true, if you're in your second year as DCM, you would be qualified on paper to stand for delegate if you choose. And so now after this meeting, they're going to know who is or who is not willing to put their name forward and have it, you know, put in the hat for delegate. And so tomorrow, they're going to kind of do the same thing, but they're only going to ask for those people to come forward who actually are second years and to say in front of everybody yes or no. And when they come up and they say yes, they'll give you their sobriety date and a little bit of other information, and then they will automatically be a candidate for delegate. Once the polling is over, then you, the body, if you have a candidate that you want to have considered, as a GSR, you have the right to come to the microphone and nominate a candidate. Make sure you have someone behind you to second that. But most importantly, make sure the person that you are nominating is willing to stand. That's really important. I got nominated for something really early on that I was not willing to do. And I had to come to the microphone and turn that nomination down. I was not ready to be treasurer at 5 years of sobriety. But anyway, so that's basically what's going to happen tomorrow. That's what you're going to see happen from the floor. And then all of the candidates who are nominated or polled will put their service resume or submit their service resume to the editor of the message letter, and it's going to appear in our next message letter so that you have something to bring to your group members who don't know who anybody is and say, these are the people who are running, look over it and decide who you'd like to support for your new delegate and alternate delegate. So this kind of covers a good bit of what we just talked about. They will ask for someone to make a motion to close the nominations towards the end. So this is where it gets a little dicey. So this can be very difficult to understand. I can promise you the first few times I went over it, I had no idea what they were doing. But this is what our nominating and voting looks like. This is what voting looks like. So when we have, in order for us to have to elect someone, there has to be one of two things. Either there needs to be a two-thirds majority on that candidate, or they need to have been drawn from the hat. Okay? We don't get to the hat until after the fifth ballot. And I've never seen it go beyond three, but I know it can. Okay? In all my years here, I've never seen it go beyond three. And it can be a very tedious process. So we'll get into what that's going to look like for you in a minute. But here you can see that after the first ballot, we just do it all over again. And then after the second ballot, we're going to start removing some people. We're going to remove the lowest people on the roster. And then we'll vote again, and then some more people will come off. We'll vote again, and we'll get to the last two, and those will go in the hat if we need to. But we will go back over this again in September, because that's when it's going to actually happen, is we're going to be doing that election then. And this is what it's going to look like. I know you're going to be so excited. You're going to get a little piece of paper. Actually, it's a little piece of paper about this big. And so your DCM is going to be handed a pack of papers, and each paper is a different color depending on which ballot we're working on. So I have no idea what colors there are. We're just going to come up with some for right now. So let's say the first ballot is all on yellow paper. So everybody's going to write down the name of their candidate on that yellow piece of paper. They're going to fold it in half and hand it back to your DCM. Someone's going to come around with a basket. They're going to throw them in there. They're going to bring that basket up here. We're going to have a whiteboard on one side, probably this one, where somebody's going to be marking a tally, okay? Like that. And so you're going to hear people's names over and over and over again. And you know what? As tedious as that sounds, I have been one of those people who have sat in the back and tallied along with them and had so much fun in the process, and people would gather around, and you get to know people, and it's part of the deal, you know. Yeah, it seems like, oh, my God, this takes so much time. Why can't there a faster way to do this? There probably is. But do you want to have the fellowship? Do you want to have the camaraderie? You know what I'm saying? Or do you want to just get it done? There's something that plays into it when you're back there doing the tally thing. And I have been a part of that, and I have enjoyed it so much. So that's what's going to end up happening, and we'll do it over and over again, because if we don't have two-thirds, then they're going to ask you to write the name on the next color piece of paper, maybe pink, you know, and then they'll come around and collect all the pink papers or maybe all the green papers, and however many it takes for us to get to that place where two-thirds have voted on a specific candidate, or we drop it in the hat. I almost want to see it go there because I've never seen it go there. I never think, oh, no, my God. Okay, so when we're doing motion voting mostly is done by hand. Occasionally when things get really tight, they might poll the DCMs, and the DCMs will say, well, I have, you know, three that are voting pro and, you know, four that are voting con or whatever. But most of the time, we can do it by a show of hands. We really would like to see, you know, at least two-thirds of the people voting on something. It makes it much more difficult and contentious when it's that kind of close, you know. We want everybody to be happy, and, of course, that's never going to happen. All right, so now we're going to get into the concepts. 3, 4, and 5 are what we call the rights. We're going to talk about 3 and 5. Starting with number 3, with the right of decision. This is the short form. To ensure effective leadership, we should endow each element of AA, the conference, the General Service Board, and its corporations, staffs, committees, and executives with a traditional right of decision. So, quite often, the group will be given a piece of information to vote on. And then, you as a GSR come to the assembly, and a new piece of information is provided. So if that new information that's being provided really sways you, and you really honestly believe that if your group had that piece of information, that your group would have voted differently, vote differently. If you're sure your group would not vote differently, don't vote differently. This is where the right of decision comes into play. Ultimately, it's going to be between you and your God whether or not you carry your group's conscience or yours. But remember who we are here to represent and who really ultimately has the power. It lies in the groups. And I cannot tell you how many times I disagreed with the group conscience on matters over the course of my recovery. But because the group voted a specific way, I went with the group, because the group conscience knows better than Liz Wilson. Is that for me? Okay. There we go. Any questions about right of decision? Okay. 5, right of appeal. So who knows what a minority opinion looks like? Okay, very good. So that's really what 5 is all about. It says, here's a short form, throughout our structure, the traditional right of appeal ought to prevail so that the minority opinion will be heard and personal grievances receive careful consideration. I would actually encourage you to read that whole thing, the whole article that Bill wrote underneath of Concept 5, in talking about not only how that it's not just important that we hear the minority opinion, that it sometimes there needs to be a moral obligation to have that opinion heard, especially when we feel like there's a real grievous error by the majority. And I can go back and look at a point in my recovery when we were arguing about whether or not to have a website. Who was here for that? Anybody? I see a couple. We were arguing about whether or not to have a website. And the vast majority of them were like, yeah, we need to do that. It's the wave of the future, blah, 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 blah. And there was this minority opinion that came up, and they were like, we need to be careful about this. We need to make sure that we don't imply any affiliation or endorsement while we're doing this. We need to make sure that we don't, you know, expose Alcoholics Anonymous to any undue, you know, criticism, all kinds of stuff. And so I'm not even going to say his name, but I remember this gentleman very well, and they ended up putting him on the ad hoc committee for that motion because we need both sides to come together in the middle somewhere. It's very important that the minority be heard. Even though we think they're wrong, there's some part of that that might work for us. Or it might, like Bill and Bob, temper, you know, temper somebody's enthusiasm, well-meaning enthusiasm, and keep us from going over the edge. So, I think you can read all of this. I don't need to read it for you. 9, service leadership. So, before I go any further, I want you to know that last assembly, we had a little piece about leadership, and I did not have a handout for you guys. But this time I do, and it's in front of me on the table, and it is the leadership essay that is actually in the 12 concepts under Concept 9, World Service Leadership, and it talks about leadership. The other thing, the other part about that is I had a lot of people who had not yet received their GSR packet from GSO. Has anybody not received their GSR packet from GSO? Quite a few of you. Okay. There is a sheet up here that tells you exactly what is in that packet so that you can access that information without the packet. So you'll have what you need to be a good GSR for your home group. Service leadership, short form. Good service leadership at all levels is indispensable. For our future functioning and safety, primary world service leadership, once exercised by the founders, must necessarily be assumed by the trustees. So right now we have 21 trustees, 14 of whom are alcoholic trustees and 7 of whom are non-alcoholic trustees. And so they are, in essence, what Bill and Bob were before 1955. So we have this collective conscience that sees to the functioning of our General Service Office. That's their whole job. And their boss is the General Service Conference, that group of delegates that get together in April, and you elect those people. So you see how that kind of flows together. So Bill's essay on leadership, and I hope you will pick it up, talks not only about the leadership that we think we want, it talks about the leadership that we need. And it talks about the leadership that we are just by being here today. Who sponsors someone? Look at that. You are a leader. You are sharing your experience, strength, and hope. That's it. If you have ever guided anyone in doing anything, you are a leader. And you have exactly what it takes to be a good one. And some people think, oh my God, I could never do this, I could never do that. You know, everything isn't for everybody. But you can be a leader in your own way. We've heard that whole thing about how it is we might be the only example of a big book that somebody ever sees. You are a leader. So just keep that in mind. How many of you have been on the job and somebody knows and all of a sudden you're getting a phone call or, hey, would you talk to so-and-so? You know what I mean? So being just visible as an alcoholic can sometimes make it. Now, some people aren't good with that, but I am certainly good with that. Of course, I'm an alcohol and drug counselor, so at a jail. So there you go. Of course, everybody knows that I am, but that's okay. Everybody knew before that. And I think one of the other pieces of this that I want to point out is about getting the right candidate, about electing the right person. Quite often, we have people that we know, they've got a great bubbly personality, they'd be good up here, you know, but they just don't have the information. They don't have the ability to put it all together. Is that the best candidate, the one you know the best? Or is your best candidate the well-rounded person who has been through a variety of service positions and has had a variety of experiences and can be a well-rounded servant? That is the people you want to look for. It's not just, oh, Johnny's willing to do this. Let's give the job to Johnny. You know, maybe that's good sometimes. But I know that we've run into problems in my own district by giving a whole bunch of people intergroup jobs that weren't ready for them. And now intergroup is in trouble. Hopefully they'll pull themselves out. But these are the kinds of things to think about. You know, it's just, oh, this would be a good first job for so-and-so. Is it? Or is this an important, vital job for your group? And should it be filled by the most qualified candidate? So in the leadership essay, it's going to talk a lot about the qualifications of the candidate and making sure you get the best well-rounded person for the job that you're electing for, regardless of what it is. Of course, we're talking about delegate right now because tomorrow, there you go, but for every job that you have in your own home group, not the most popular, the best qualified. Okay, so one of the things that they put together when they put this thing together was a series of scenarios about solving group problems. These are the ones they picked. That's what I'm going to go with. These are the ones that they picked. So it's going to show us the 12 traditions first. And then when we're done, we're going to have a conversation about solving some of your group problems using the traditions. So here's a problem. It can be seen from two angles. The problem is either we need to use 12-ounce cups or we need to use 16-ounce cups at our meeting. Has your group had silly things like this? Heck yeah. Absolutely. It is like the biggest bit of business for a couple of months sometimes. Right? So here we are, problem number one, and this is the way it's presented. I think that we need to use the 12-ounce cup because we're spending too much money on coffee, and if we used a smaller cup, people would drink less coffee. Okay. Well, the case for that particular argument falls under Tradition 7. Each group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Tradition, money. There it is. Whoop, money. However, comma, argument number two is, I think we need bigger coffee cups because people keep getting up and down in the meeting, disrupting the meeting, and I need to be able to have, you know, peace and serenity during the meeting, so we want to have less disruptions. We need larger cups so people don't get up so much. So the argument for that one is, tradition one, our common welfare comes first. Right? So, is there a different argument? Okay. However many there are in your own group conscience. Okay. How many of you are members of a group that resides in a clubhouse? Are you very aware that the clubhouse is a separate entity from your group? Yes. Okay. So here is the argument that's coming up for this particular scenario. Members participate in... We want to announce the clubhouse barbecue. Is this a AA event or is this a clubhouse event? It's a club. Does it belong in an AA meeting?
No.
Why?
It's an outside issue.
It's an outside issue. Can you talk about it after the meeting?
Yep.
Can you talk about it before the meeting?
Yep.
Can you talk about it during the meeting?
No.
There you go. I'm so proud of you. Y'all did so good. Okay. Here's another one we see all the time. Should people be allowed to bring their children, their small children, to a meeting, to a closed meeting? Some very strong opinions I hear already. No. Anybody on the opposite side?
Depends on the autonomy of the group.
It does depend on the autonomy of the group, okay? Now, it doesn't mean that the group is right or wrong. What it means is each group gets to decide for themselves exactly what this is going to look like. And, you know, the group conscience is always right. And the group conscience has the right to make a bad decision and learn from it. I'm not saying that it's the wrong thing to do. What I'm saying is whatever decision that the group makes, they're either going to learn one of two things, what to do or what not to do. And we can go back and make another decision on another day, correct? So that falls under group autonomy. I think that covers my part of this thing today. Now we're going to talk about you. What's going on with you guys? What kind of problems are you having at the group level that you need help with? Please come to the microphone.
Derek Alcoholic, what up, my people? All right, so... And this is something we've actually tabled to our next GC. I've already been yelled at from my service sponsor for, you know, my own opinions on it. But I will say this. So we have a meeting where the Big Book is being read, Big Book study. Before that study, there's a set-aside prayer that's being done. a member has a problem with this set-aside prayer being done before the meeting, thinking that it'll scare the newcomer off. So she bought into the group conscience to vote whether we should do it or not. And that's kind of the most recent strange issue we've been approached with, the set-aside prayer before the big book study.
And what do you think the solution is?
My solution is, my go-to solution is always, you know, now how I said it was different, and that's why my service sponsors chewed me out, right? but my solution is always, where's God in this? You know, and whatever is brought to the group conscious, I always ask the question, where is God in this? Is this your own personal fear, you know, where you're, and that's kind of how I said it. Is this your own personal fear that you're trying to throw in the group, or is this something you've actually witnessed from a newcomer saying, I'm going to leave this meeting and never come back to ever again if I hear another set-aside prayer before a big book study? So,
what tradition applies? Anybody? One and four, okay?
Yeah, one and four.
Specifically four, because the group conscience is always going to be right, at least in the moment, right, until they find out otherwise. The group conscience is always right. So this is going to be one of those things where your group is either going to decide to use the prayer or to not use the prayer, and then you will move forward and you will find out whether or not that was a good decision or if that decision needs to change. It's just that simple. You know, I hate using good or bad or right or wrong, but the truth of the matter is it's either going to work out or it's not going to work out, you know. So who's next?
Good afternoon. I'm Joseph. I'm an alcoholic. I'm trying to get a little clarification because I'm the new GSR for the Candle Group in Atlanta, and they were saying something about some changes going to be in the big book. And they were saying that I don't know if it's going to be in the story part of the book or going to be on the first part of the 164 pages. So I don't know if it's legit or not, but I'm asking, is there going to be any changes in the big book or certain stories, or are there going to be anything changed on the 164 pages?
So, yes. But change isn't exactly the right word. Update would be the more appropriate way to put it.
Change.
Because we are in our fourth edition of the big book right now, right? Okay, so what has changed about the big book over that period of time? The stories, that's it. So what has happened is over time, the first 164 pages plus Dr. Bob's nightmare have remained intact. And then they have updated the stories in the back. They'll remove some. They might move some. They'll add some to better reflect the current population in Alcoholics Anonymous.
Okay.
So the basic message, the first 164 pages, will not change. But we will be getting a fifth edition of the book. But we're probably about 3 years out. It started a couple years ago. It takes about 5 years.
Okay. That's all I want to say. I'll be able to take the right information back to my group.
So does that help?
That helps.
Very good.
Thank you.
What about the common language visual test?
So there is an additional service piece being put out, or a new translation being put out, was the way they are presenting it. I'm going to really defer you to the delegates' report for tomorrow, because that's the appropriate place for you to ask that question. But I will say it's moving forward. And they have actually presented some chapters to the delegates for review at the conference that just happened a few weeks ago. And that's all I can tell you.
Hi, I'm Anastasia, an alcoholic.
You can do that. It's okay. There
so I'm GSR for a group, and we have about 24 home group members, but we only have about 7 to 10 that actually attend group conscience, take service positions, even like, you know, weekly or monthly chair positions. So we just had a group inventory, and I think there was 7 of us that actually showed up. And it was a resounding thing that we need more home group member participation. And even as GSR, when we were doing, every district had like the reports for conference. You know, it was a lot, and I met with the DCM, and I tried to, like, simplify it for a group, and I knew that nobody was going to come to group conscience for an extended period of time. So I did a Zoom, and nobody came except, well, two people came, my alternate and our alternate DCM, which is anyway in my home group. So my question is how, well, two parts. How, A, do you even get home group members to participate in group decisions? And then B, as GSR, you know, I'm not bringing a reflection of our group's conscience because they just have no say. And, you know, they're like, oh, just whatever you think. And, you know, I've got like 2.5 years, you know, like I think it would be more beneficial for these people with longer time to weigh in on some of these important things. So I don't know where to go with that. I hear it's a common issue in AA.
Okay, so for those of you who are here in January and we had the question, how do you get people involved and how do you make people participate? What is the answer? You can't. Okay? That is the answer. You can't. What you can do is lead by example and make service look exciting.
Oh, I love it.
Okay. You can make service look exciting, but you're never going to be able to get people to do something that they're not, that they don't want to do. You know, I can only control who?
Yeah, me.
Me, exactly.
And that's what I asked. I was like, what can I do to make it simpler for y'all to, like, you know, weigh in on these issues that, you know, later on down the road, you might disagree with the decision I made. I mean, I don't know. I'm doing the best I can.
And so the answer to the other one, let me go back here so that you can see it. And it comes in. Let's see. Maybe I don't have it on this slide. The answer to that question is when you come here and you are either to vote your group's conscience,
yeah,
or
right,
your own.
Decision, yeah.
Okay, without a group conscience to guide you, then it becomes between you and your God. Now, it would be nice if you had some sort of input for somebody, and that's where a DCM comes in, and they can give you some good suggestions or give you some information that can help you make a better decision.
Yeah. And my sponsor.
And your sponsor. Very good. Okay. So that's the best you can do.
Okay. Thank you.
It is. I know it's not the answer you were looking for.
No.
There's no pill for that. Sorry.
Hi. I'm Brian. I'm powerless over alcohol.
Hi, Brian.
The first thing I was going to say is that I've been involved with enough groups that if the word God or prayer is going to drive them out, alcohol will drive them right back in. But I didn't get up to talk about that.
Could you get a little bit closer to the microphone, please?
Thank you. What I came to talk about was the fact that I heard somebody was probably here in the study meeting this morning, where the word victory is being changed in the third step prayer.
No, that was a mishear, okay? What somebody said was that initially there was a different word for it in the original manuscript, but when it went to print, it was victory. So it's never been anything other than victory. But originally, Bill considered a different word. Yes? Go to the microphone. If I'm wrong, tell me so. I'm good with that.
Damon Alcoholic. Actually, the correction was in 1967.
Okay, very good.
And as Bill sees it, it's page 210.
Okay.
And Bill wanted to change the word from victory to transcendence.
Okay.
You'll see it on page 210 there.
So that's in as Bill sees it. But it's been victory in the big book the whole time. Yes? Okay, very good. Yes?
Oh, thank you. First, a great session. And I appreciate your service. My name is Reggie. I'm a great recovered alcoholic. And my home group meets at a clubhouse in Atlanta, a beautiful clubhouse. Before the pandemic, the coronavirus, we was packed, about 75 plus. We meet Monday through Friday at 10:30 a.m. So what happened after coronavirus hit? That we went on Zoom entirely. Great attendance still, 50 people, 60 people. But we're gradually coming back. It's our third month. But however, we're doing a hybrid now. But looking at the meetings now, we get three people in the rooms, and everybody's on Zoom. I'm saying, what's going on? Why can't the people come back? And I think we answered that already. You know, they got to do it, make their own decision. But sleepless nights, right? So why don't the people come back to the clubhouse? But they're on Zoom. So the thing is, I know the body has somehow experienced this with the hybrid meetings. But a person had to come in and set up the equipment. And the person set up the equipment said, I can't do it anymore. And the 50 people on the screen sitting back in their pajamas. You know, watching Sherry and just Judy. So anybody ever experienced that, let us know. Thank you.
That wasn't a question, so I'm not answering that.
Thank you. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Karen. Thank you, Liz, for your service. I'm also the PICPC co-chair, and prior to that, I was a DCM, and while I was a DCM, I served on the DCM initiative. And I just wanted to say that for the GSR, I can't find her. She was a little. But there you are. That was saying that you were having a hard time with, you know, getting participation. And I just wanted to thank you for your service. And I wanted to encourage you to keep trying and to keep doing what you're doing. Because when we were part on that DCM initiative, we dealt with dark districts who maybe didn't have a DCM or maybe didn't have GSR participation. Keep trying. And all of you GSRs, keep doing what you're doing, because it is what Liz said is true. The GSR is the most important position that you have. Keep trying. Go to different groups. Send out emails. Just keep doing what you're doing, because even if you reach one other person, even if you talk to one other person that maybe wants to be an alternate GSR that maybe becomes a GSR, one other person comes to your group. Don't think what you're doing falls on deaf ears. You have no idea. You don't know the seed that you're planting, and you don't know the service seed that you're planting. So please, any of you, don't think that what you're doing falls on deaf ears. Don't think that because nobody might be coming that it's not working. It is working. So keep coming, and if you need more participation, try visiting other meetings in your area, in your district or your zone where you are, and let them know, and talk to the other GSRs that are here, because I'm sure you're not the only one, you know, that has that. But Keith, I just wanted to encourage you, and thank you, Liz, for your service and what you do. We really appreciate you.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
Oh,
I'm not sure who it is.
That's okay. Real quick. Good afternoon, John. Grateful member of AA. Twilight Group. In reference to your question, Reggie, and I've been intending to reach out to you guys, but the consensus has been, and I've had several people go to your hybrid meeting. Most people that go to a live meeting don't want to sit in a hybrid meeting in a clubhouse. It takes away the personal touch. The second thing is, you have a very, very powerful, strong group, and we've discussed it in some of our meetings. Your group has the potential to run both meetings individually, and I think you could do it starting next week, and in a matter of a month, your whole group will just flourish. You have enough where one person can run the Zoom meeting. Don't bring the hybrid in. Every meeting that is hybrid at our clubhouse right now is a failure, every one of them. And so that has been, and I've had people come all the way from Rome, Georgia, to your meeting and say, man, I can't take it. I had to leave. They walk out. The other thing is, your group on, and we've moved forward since COVID. And one of the big things I think that we did is with the app, the meeting guide app. And a lot of people misses. Your group is listed as virtual. It's not even listed live on Monday whenever you guys come. It's only listed virtual. So people don't even know your meeting is live. That's a big killer. But we're going to fix that by the end of this weekend, because now you know. But that's the only reason I brought it up here, because me and Reggie are good friends. We go back 25 years. Is because if you're trying to run a hybrid meeting, my hat's off to you. Good luck. We did it. I was one of the first people at our clubhouse to do it during COVID, and it worked for a little while. But once we decided that we were coming back in the clubhouse, we said, no, we're coming in, and we're coming in hot like we used to. And, you know, we had that discussion here 3 months ago about how we're going to do the assembly. But if you're on that app, you might want to check your group, first of all, even to see if they're on there, because now it's 2024. People do not call up to find a meeting. They do. They call me all day about meetings. But that app is the ticket, because if you're here and look on the app, it's going to tell you where the meeting is here. Where's closest, 50-mile radius. If you're not on there saying live, it's going to give the address of 270 Peachtree Street virtual. And your meeting is like almost nil if it's live. So that's the reason that group has been struggling, I think. And I hate to hear you're down to three people, because I've seen it with four other groups in the clubhouse. And, you know, like the lady came up earlier and said, how do we fix it? Try to change a man against his opinion or against his will. His opinion will be the same still. People, we just don't change like that. Alcoholics, we just fight to the end, you know. But I hope that helps someone. Not to put them on the spot, but, you know, we started elbow to elbow, people. Elbow to elbow, in my opinion, is the only way. Thanks.
So I'm just going to give a rebut to that, because I am a member of a group that is hybrid, and it works remarkably well. But we are listed as hybrid, and I think being listed, he's got a very valid point. It's a very good idea to make sure that your group is put out there exactly the way that it is. But we are also not in a clubhouse setting. However, our district meeting is offered in a hybrid format, and it is in a clubhouse setting, and it is very successful. I don't know about you, but our district geographically is very large, so we have people who are way on the outskirts that zoom in because it would take them over an hour to get there otherwise. So it allows participation from groups that wouldn't otherwise come because of the distance they would need to travel to get there, and they still have their voices heard. And there's a specific way it's set up. We can talk about that after the meeting, but it works very well for us. But back again to the whole thing, your group conscience, your autonomy is what's going to save the day. You're going to make a decision. You're going to see the decision through, and either it's going to work or it's not, and you can make another decision.
Daniel, alcoholic, 10A. My former group, we're still in masks, and the church has made that point abundantly clear. They got a kids preschool that works during that time, and so the biggest problem was that we were having to kick out people that weren't willing to wear masks, and unfortunately that brought up Tradition 1 and Tradition 10. You know, was our common welfare being affected that we weren't willing to find a new meeting place because we weren't willing to do the legwork to do that? Or was it Tradition 10 that we really have no opinion on outside issues and controversial topics, and we kept trying to bring that into the meeting and try and change it, or try and change the church's mind?
Did you do a group inventory to cover this?
No, we just left it as is.
Okay.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Mi nombre es Abraham, soy alcohólico. Quisiera ver si me puede traducir. Para la compañera que vino, ¿cómo se llamaba, Kimberly? Bueno, solamente le voy a pasar lo que a nuestro grupo pasó. Tres cosas. Una de ellas, la segunda tradición, dice que no hay mandatos. Se empieza a ordenar a través del ejemplo.
So he, Raul alcoholic, he's talking to Anastasia, right, that's your name, how something similar in his group happened, and he wants to remind her of tres tradiciones, ¿verdad? Three things. That tradition two states that
no hay mandatos.
There's no mandates.
Solo se manda con el ejemplo.
You can only, you know, show by example.
Mm-hmm. La otra es que no pierdas el espíritu, porque de hecho Bill decía que el apadrinamiento es doble vía. Sirve para el ahijado y sirve para el padrino.
Number two, don't lose your spirit, because Bill said that
apadrinamiento.
That sponsorship is works both ways, you know, sponsor and sponsee.
Entonces los viejos tenemos que jalar a los nuevos, pero los nuevos nos jalan a los viejos.
As old timers, we need to like grab, you know, newcomers and vice versa.
Entonces, si tienes el espíritu, sirve. El noveno concepto te dice que para cada servicio tiene que haber una responsabilidad igual.
If you have the spirit to serve, do it. Because concept number nine dice que
para cada servicio una responsabilidad igual.
For every type of service, there's a responsibility.
Yes.
Porque si nadie quiere llegar, tú tienes la responsabilidad de votar, aunque sea solo una.
Because if no one wants to show up, you have that responsibility to vote.
De esa manera, vas a jalar al viejo.
And that way, you're going to get that old-timer.
Apenas llegó un compañero de 20 años.
Recently, we got someone that's been sober 20 years.
Y nunca había servido.
And he had never served.
Vio que los nuevos servían y le picamos el ego.
He saw that, you know, the newcomers were serving, so it kind of, I guess, bothered his ego.
That's great.
¿Por qué no nos enseñas cómo se sirve? Tú eres el viejo.
Yeah, why don't you, you know, like, show us how to serve if you're the old timer, you're the one that's supposed to be doing it.
Solo por ego, el compañero levantó la mano para hacer RSG.
Just because of his ego, he raised his hand to serve as a GSR.
Ahora está hablando de tradiciones y está hablando de una unidad en cuanto a la asamblea.
Now he's talking about service and unity amongst here the assembly.
En el grupo.
In the group.
Entonces, si nosotros, como la gente que estamos aquí, los RSGs, votan por algo, no está votando todo Georgia, solamente ustedes, pero el voto es de Georgia.
You know, it's not everyone's voting here, just Georgia.
Georgia.
Yeah.
So, somos muchos alcohólicos en Georgia.
We're a lot of alcoholics. There's a lot of us here in Georgia.
Pero los votos son los que están aquí.
But the votes are here.
So, el voto es de Georgia, aunque no estén aquí.
It's the Georgia vote, even though they're not here.
Esto right quiere now. Decir que aunque no estén, votan.
Mm-hmm. Even though they're not here, just vote.
And thank you so much for your service as well. This is vital. You know, to have participation from every group that we have here in Georgia, that we are able to offer the services of translation. And we've been doing that for a number of years, and it's just been an amazing thing to watch develop and grow over time. So how many of you ever heard this when you were a newcomer? Get in the car. How many of you have said that to a newcomer? Okay, but it's time to get back to that. You know what? They're not going to know what joy they're missing if they're not here to see it. And my sponsor said, you're going with me to assembly back in 1998, and I was like, what is assembly? She said, well, come on, and you're going to learn. And I promise you, I had way more questions when I got finished than I ever had before I started, because I wanted to know how this thing worked. And one of two things is going to happen to you and the people you work with. You're going to catch the service bug or you're not. But I promise you, for those of us who have caught the service bug and get to keep it, it is a priceless gift. Who's next?
My name is Raymond Alcoholic. So this, so my sponsor directed me to bring it to the group for experience. So this happened in a meeting that is not my home group that I was at just last week. So the group is, there's a lot of rehabs that go to the group. So long story short, it's not uncommon for primary purpose for people to speak about their drug use within the program. I'm not a Nazi about this whatsoever. At the same time, we were like three shares in with very, very overt drug shares, and people within their shares specifically speaking that they understood what primary purpose was and stating things like they didn't care, they didn't give a shit, and then just being very overt. So then trying to redirect the meeting gently after what I viewed from, or excuse me, I observed from an old timer, speaking about what primary purpose is, why it is, and how it's primarily there for identification for the alcoholic, that they're welcome, but it needs to be about alcohol. So after I shared that, then the very next person shared and went straight to, I want to do meth, and I cut them off. I did it as gently as I knew how. It was not my group, but it was the third share in a row outside of my share. So that created tension. It kind of went back and forth. Half the meeting got up and left because these were all the rehab people who were maybe had drug experience. There was tension. I don't like being in conflict. But anyway, after the meeting, the chairperson of the meeting got very, very upset with me, saying I was out of line, I was out of place. It was their place to say anything. And at first, I made statements like, well, then why didn't you? We're three shares in. He said it was an open meeting. I said, that's not what an open meeting is. This was overtly turning into an AA meeting, or excuse me, NA meeting. They were even speaking about NA in the context of their shares. He said, well, we have group conscience. And I said, your group conscience doesn't trump primary purpose in our tradition. Our common welfare comes first, and that is our primary purpose. So it didn't go well, and then it's a clubhouse that I go to. So I've received phone calls, and you know, through the telephone, you know, I'm a big white guy who yells at girls. So that's what it's turned into. None of that feels good to me, so I'm bringing it to group conscious. I think where I'm at with it, and is I don't think I did anything wrong. At the same time, I think next time I'll probably leave. But then this is ultimately my final point, is like I have trouble because part of me wants to stand up for AA and primary purpose and protect it, but I don't know if that's ego in the context of, like, does AA need Ray to protect it, you know? So that's it.
So every group has the right to be what? Wrong.
Not when I'm there.
Yeah, okay. Each group is autonomous, and it does go back to that same thing, and they have the right to make the decisions that they're making. Ultimately, one of two things is going to end up happening. It's either going to work or it's not going to work. I can't say that enough. And I have seen, it's not your group, so you wouldn't have a vote in that group if you're not a member of that group. So you wouldn't have a say in their group conscience unless you were a member. But I have seen that treatment thing handled in a couple of different ways. Over time, I have seen groups embrace the treatment idea and just bring them into the fold and talk to them individually after the meeting. I've seen groups do breakout meetings and have like a beginner's meeting where they would pretty much invite the treatment people to be over here. And they'd have a couple of people that would rotate around with that, like, beginner's meeting, and then the other their regular group meeting would be over here. I've seen that. I don't know if that's right or wrong. These are the things that I've seen, you know. So each group needs to decide for themselves exactly how they're going to address the treatment issue, because it happens frequently in quite a few groups, you know, where a treatment center will drop off, you know, 20 people, even 10 people sometimes. If you're a small group, that's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. So the group needs to decide how they wish to deal with that. And I've even seen groups go to the treatment center and talk with them about meeting with these people, you know, off-site and saying, okay, I want to give you a little bit of tutorial about what AA is and what AA is not. And maybe that's the answer. But I can tell you this, if you're not a member of the group, you don't have a group vote in their group conscience. So that pretty much sums up what you said to me. Yep. Okay. Anything? Anybody else want to chime in on that one?
Posting a sign that says AA meetings here are singleness of purpose.
Singleness of purpose? Well, we usually read something about the singleness of purpose at the beginning of a meeting. And you know what? When I first got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I was an alcoholic and a junkie because that's cool, right? Until somebody told me different. Okay, so even the individual has the right to be wrong. And I didn't respect myself. I certainly was not going to respect you or anything that you had going on in any kind of meeting I didn't want to be at. So we also have to remember who it is that's here. Yes.
Buenas tardes. Mi nombre es John y soy un alcohólico. Okay. Hoy en día, en muchos grupos, se presenta la gente con la doble adicción. Soy alcohólico y drogadicto.
Nowadays in the rooms, people show up with dual addictions, you know, alcohol and drugs.
Okay. En una reunión, un compañero se presentó y en el atril dijo, es que aquí no te van a decir, ellos no entienden de drogas, ellos no te van a entender. Entonces yo le dije, compañero, si supiéramos de fondos de drogas, te ayudaríamos. Nosotros te podemos hablar de fondos de alcohol.
Someone showed up to the group and started saying that they weren't going to, you know, be able to help him here because obviously he had the two addictions, you know, alcoholism and drug addiction. So he told the fellow that we really can't, no poderle hablar muy bien de la droga, ¿verdad? We really can't talk to you about drugs because obviously this is an AA meeting that's about alcohol.
Okay. No lo vamos a sacar del grupo. Te podemos colaborar en lo referente al alcoholismo. Y te invito a que vayas a grupos de Narcóticos Anónimos y allá te entienden lo referente a Narcóticos Anónimos.
We're not going to throw you out of the group. You know, we can collaborate with you, help you with alcoholism, but we suggest that you go to NA or other meetings.
Es todo. Yes.
That's it.
So I was actually politely invited to catch alcoholism. That was how it was brought to me, you know. You may want to consider catching alcoholism while you're in here. And I really was primarily an alcoholic more than I was a drug addict when I first got here. And that's not something that I choose to talk about when I share. But it is something that a lot of people come in with. So we do need to be aware, you know, that who we have in our rooms. Mm-hmm.
Hi, I'm Miriam. I'm an alcoholic. Miriam. I just wanted to weigh in on this topic really quickly and just point out that AA meetings are far more accessible and plentiful than NA meetings are, mm-hmm. particularly in early recovery. If you need a meeting, regardless of what your addiction is, oftentimes that's an AA meeting that's mm-hmm. most readily accessible.
Mm-hmm. That's
just want
true.
To throw that in there.
And you can also invite them to listen.
Mm-hmm. I'm an alcoholic. My name's Kelly Phillips. So I was a member of a home group where we had treatment buggies that would come regularly, and we did break off into beginners meetings. And part of our beginners meeting format was to educate the treatment people that were coming on what appropriate behavior was in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And for myself, I mean, before I actually got sober, when I was just visiting AA and identified as an addict, I was asked to leave a meeting. And I was a little, you know, offended by that. But another guy was like, do you have a desire not to drink? And I'm like, I do. And they're like, sit down. So
there you go.
I got to stay. But so I guess I can see it from both sides. And so for me, I couldn't identify that my problem stemmed from my alcoholism from the beginning. And once I ingest the alcohol, then other things become an option to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that until I worked the steps. Now, as a member, if I go to a meeting where I'm listening to people talk about, you know, intensive use with meth or shooting heroin or any of that, well, then I just have the choice to not attend that meeting. I don't have to continue to go somewhere where I'm going to leave resentful or bitter or, you know, any of those other negative feelings that I try and avoid these days. Also, if it's my home group, I mean, group conscience prevails, right? So whatever is decided, I actually have a right to switch home groups.
You do?
I don't have to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I tend to attend the meetings that I do. I do a lot of after the meeting talking to people that share about that kind of stuff. And yes, AA meetings are much more readily available, but I try to educate people on, you know, when you're in this room, you wear this hat kind of thing. And that seems to work so far, but that's all I got.
Thank you for sharing. Okay, we have roughly 7 minutes. You're next.
1 minute.
Okay.
Real quick, in Alcohol Anonymous, we have a great book. Okay, they usually tell me I'm too loud, but that's okay. So we have a great book in AA. It's called Language of the Heart, and Bill Wilson wrote about this in the topic in the book Language of the Heart, and he wrote about this very same topic, and I really would encourage everybody in this room, if you haven't read Language of the Heart, to grab a copy of that book mm-hmm. and read that. And he really wrote about this topic, and we only have 7 minutes, so I'm not going to go into it because he wrote much more eloquently about this than I could. But in the metro Atlanta area, we have over 186
meetings. And so just like the young lady said, there is 186 meetings that, you know, it's kind of like Baskin Robbins. They have 31 flavors. So, and if you want to learn more about the book, Language of the Heart, this man over here can attest to it. There's a great meeting Wednesday nights, the Usual Suspects meeting at 7 o'clock. It's a literature-based meeting. Check it out. You'll learn a lot about literature. Thank you so much.
We're next.
Hi, I'm Marsha Alcoholic, District 15A Dalton Group. We have both double addiction alcoholics that come to our group. Mm-hmm. And at our group business and / conscience, it's decided that the chairperson is in charge of reminding the speaker or the sharing person that we're limiting our subject to the disease of alcoholism. And so sometimes that chairperson is bashful and doesn't step up and say that. But usually people comply. And my other comment was going to be, let me think exactly how it's worded. Something like, don't use profanity. And that's held, that's read in the first
in your script.
8-7 minutes. Mm-hmm. And we have this two guys that come from 30 minutes away, and they're always 12 minutes late. And they do the profanity stuff and drop the F-bomb and all that stuff. Well, he was reminded during the meeting that there's ladies present. Really? That we don't curse because ladies are present. I'm thinking, well, that's just being a good citizen to not throw ugly words out. But anyway, but we had a problem with that, or I had a problem with that, and it was brought up, and everybody agreed. So I didn't know if any other groups maybe have had that issue, and pretty much that's all.
Okay. Another group autonomy issue. Tom.
Alcoholic named Tom. I just wanted to point out a couple of things. One is Alcoholics Anonymous is not a program against drugs. Last night or Friday night, I was at a meeting here, and the main topic of the meeting was tire pressure and car repairs, and not a single person said anything about singleness of purpose, so I'd really like it to be fair on that topic. And I'd like to add that the group conscience does override anything else in Alcoholics Anonymous, and Bill talks about that in Tradition 4 in the book that was just mentioned, Language of the Heart.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
My name is Justin. I'm an alcoholic. GSR for 3A. We were just talking about drugs, and I was going to say, you know, I suffer from the disease of alcoholism. Alcohol is but a symptom. It's a way for me to identify that I'm an alcoholic. My symptoms show up in a lot of different ways, though. I like to do everything in excess. Nobody chased me out of the rooms because I was talking about drugs or anything like that. I could see how that would like assist in me identifying that I like to do anything I do, I continue to do until it absolutely pushes me in the ground. And there's a story in the Big Book, and it's in the, I can't remember the name of the story, but the guy was doing pills, uppers, downers, uppers, downers. And, you know, people read the Big Book, go to the stories to identify. So if a drug addict can identify with that, I don't know what can. Thank you.
That would be acceptance is the answer. It used to be called Dr. Alcoholic Addict. Yes, sir. 2 minutes.
I'm Brian. I'm an alcoholic. And you know, I think this is easily summed up with the first sentence in the 12 and 12 on Tradition 5. Shoemaker, stick to thy last. Better do one thing well than many things badly. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
I'm Amber. I'm an alcoholic. I'm the GSR from the One Day at a Time group in Dalton. I had a sponsor who passed between 15 and 20 years ago that taught me when I was young, and she said, if you're going to go to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, you need to use their common language, and you need to refer to yourself as an addict. If you're going to go to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, you need to use their common language, and you need to refer to yourself as an alcoholic. And for the protection of the group, she educated me. You know, for myself, it's our responsibility. If you have an individual doing that, personally, you know, I think you should stop them and say, hey, in this meeting, we talk about alcohol and alcoholism, and if you want to get with me after the meeting, and then, you know, explain to them after that meeting that Narcotics Anonymous is an all-inclusive group, and I can help you find a meeting. to go there. And if you're going to come here, we talk about alcohol. If you want to think in your mind that you used your drugs alcoholically and try to give yourself some sort of a common thread there. But we do need to protect our group. We do not need to find an easier, softer way. I came from a time when they would hurt your feelings and make you cry and throw $20 at you and say, you're not done. Go buy some more and come back when you are. And I'm not saying that's appropriate or inappropriate or I agree with that, but it worked for me. So we cannot always coddle people. I have to hurt to change. I will not change if I don't hurt. And if we don't educate them, you're killing them. So
frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. All right. Well, we have actually run out of time. I appreciate everyone's willingness to help set up the room for the round robin. We really need every hand we can get. So if you would, let's close with the responsibility pledge. Damon, can you put me back on so this can be up here and they can read it for those who aren't familiar with it? Are you over there? There we go. Thank you very much. All right. So let's together stand up and do the responsibility pledge. Deep breath. Did we learn something?
Yes.
Did we have a good time?
Yes.
Okay. Deep breath. Pledge. I am responsible when anyone, anywhere reaches out for help. I want the hand of AA always to be there. And for that, I am responsible. Thank you so much.